One of the most important characters in the Old Testament and even in the entire Bible is without contest Moses. According to H.H. Haley, the story of Moses covers about 1/7 of the Old Bible and amounts to about 2/3 the volume of the New Testament. Moses lived to be 120 years, divided into three equal portions. He spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the Arabian desert, and 40 years as the leader of the people of Israel. His greatest contribution to the plan of God is that he was the one the Almighty chose to save his people from Egyptian bondage. Through him, God performed a number of miracles, hence his place in the Hall of Fame of Faith, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, is well deserved. As your host, Dr. Norbert Augustine, I'm going to talk to you about the miracle of the burning bush. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I've been reading from the King James Version. The main importance of this narration is that it marks the beginning of Moses' mission and simultaneously the end of more than 400 years of slavery in Egypt for the children of Israel. When this incident occurred, Moses was in fact a runaway. As we know, he had been born in Egypt, had been brought up by Pharaoh's daughter, and had received the best education existing as an Egyptian prince. Eventually, Moses learned about his true identity as an Israelite. One day, he witnessed how an Egyptian was beating an Israelite. Having made sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. On the next day, he saw two Israelites fighting against each other. When he tried to pacify them, they retorted, Who made you a judge over us? Do you want to kill us as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? As the news of the murder had spread and even reached the ears of the Pharaoh, Moses fled Egypt and went to hide at his father-in-law's place in the Arabian desert. There he tended his father-in-law's flocks in the backside of the desert. And it's exactly while he was tending the flocks that it all happened. Suddenly, a strange spectacle catches Moses' attention. He sees a wild bush catching fire, but not burning. It's all aflame, but is not consumed. That in itself is a mighty miracle. Quite naturally, this arouses Moses' curiosity, so he draws near to see what's happening. To his amazement, the angel of the Lord appears to him in the burning bush. This angel of the Lord, however, was no ordinary angel. It was in fact an apparition of the Lord Jesus. This is what is called a theophany, an apparition of Jesus before his incarnation. Moses is even more stunned when he hears the angel of the Lord calling him out of the burning bush. Moses, Moses. The repetition implies urgency. And Moses, as most of God's prophets, answers, "Here I am," a reply that implies availability. God will always use people who are available and respond positively to his call. As Moses draws near, the angel of the Lord cautions him, "Stop there, don't come any closer, and do take off your shoes, because the ground on which you're standing is holy ground." How unexpected and awesome such a warning must have been. There is Moses standing on holy ground. Hitherto, this ground has been ordinary ground, common soil like anywhere else. But what makes it holy now is the presence of the Lord in the burning bush. As he moves from one surprise to another, Moses must be wondering what lies in store for him, what the Lord's next move is going to be. After that preamble, the Lord introduces himself. Thus we see how the incident follows a linear sequence. The events occur in chronological order. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 33, "God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." He introduces himself in these words, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." I believe this enumeration of who the speaker is has a purpose. The Lord wants to drive it home to Moses that the one speaking is not one of the numerous pagan gods that were worshipped in Egypt or in the surrounding regions. Also, the Lord wants to make it clear that whatever he will say after that will be coming from the highest authority ever. And hence, whatever he will say afterwards won't be an option. It will have to be taken with the greatest reverence and carried out to the last letter. Out of reverence before such an awesome revelation, Moses covers his face, for to see God face to face is death. Only then, when the foundation has been laid, as it were, does the Lord reveal the purpose of this awesome encounter. "I've seen the affliction of my children in Egypt," he says. "I've heard their cries. Their prayers have come up to my ears. I've seen the tears they've shed. And now I've come down to save them from the cruel hands of the Egyptians. And I've chosen you, Moses, to commission you and send you to Pharaoh and command him to let my people go." What an unexpected call addressed to Moses, who then is a runaway hiding behind the flock of sheep. But at every stage of this incident, God has been in control. Although it may sound absurd to have taken Moses out of Egypt and sent him back there, we may ask, Why not commission him right there and then in Egypt itself? But the Almighty knew perfectly what he was doing. He took Moses out of Egypt in order to take Egypt out of Moses. Let me repeat this. He took Moses out of Egypt in order to take Egypt out of Moses. Indeed, Moses had to empty himself of whatever pagan practice and culture he had inherited from his Egyptian upbringing, for God to inculcate in him faith and belief in the one true God. The number 40 in the Bible is symbolical of learning, preparation, apprenticeship, training. During the 40 years Moses spent herding sheep in the wilderness, God was in fact humbling him and preparing him for the difficult mission he would send him on. Even as he herded sheep, Moses was being prepared and equipped to lead the vast host of Israelites through the desert of the Sinai, right up to the entrance to the Promised Land. As we have seen, the miracle of the burning bush was no ordinary event. It declares who Jesus really is, that is, God Almighty. It shows how God is not insensitive to his children's suffering and how he hears and answers their prayers. It marked the beginning of bondage for God's children. It shows how God uses common, vile, and ordinary people and things to manifest his power. In this case, he used a wild bush and a mere runaway shepherd. Finally, this incident is not without relevance to us modern-day believers. It typifies the way God uses to take us out of the world where we were slaves to Satan and take us into his kingdom. And who the Moses of this modern day scenario is? Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent to die for us on the cross to redeem us by shedding his pure, holy, and blessed blood. Let's thank God for having taken us out of the world and brought us into his eternal kingdom. To him be the glory.